Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
The story of the UK is an economy that has got real momentum.
What is broken can be repaired. What is ruined can be rebuilt.
UK inflation is becoming much more homegrown.
We have huge potential as an economy in the UK.
This is a time to tell Israel there is a path to peace.
Our plan for the British economy is working, but the work is not done.
You're listening to Bloomberg UK Politics. I'm Ewan Potts.
And I'm Caroline Hepke. Welcome to the programme. Now, Thames water, more twists and turns in the deepening crisis at the UK's biggest water company. Ewan, this risks becoming a bit of a rant on my part, but bear with me. Because, of course, I think this is going to become an even bigger political challenge. We've been reporting this morning that credit traders at some of the world's biggest banks are beginning to offer their clients the opportunity to bet against Thames water debt. That's a bit in the weeds, but we're going to unpack just why that's pretty important on this trajectory in terms of Thames water. To my mind, it suggests that the markets are smelling blood. They've begun to prepare for an impending crisis. But it is also very interesting to understand investors are betting that a restructuring won't hurt them as much as has perhaps previously been thought. Perhaps they expect the government to step in at some point, even if it takes some time, maybe with special administration. Too big to fail is back, Ewan.
Yeah, well, the government, though, are pressing Thames Water and parent company Kemble to basically clear up their own mess and resolve their own financial difficulties. Understandably, the government's not convinced it should be down to the taxpayer to bail out a private company. But the stakes are very high. Remember, Thames Water is the biggest water and sewage company in the country. It supplies about a quarter of England, including London, of course. So I guess the question is, can the Prime Minister kick this issue down the road until after an election?
Yes, it's a big issue, isn't it? I think whatever point on the timeline you delve into when it comes to Thames Water, you can find an issue and some blame, right? Thames Water was privatised under Thatcher in 89, had no debt at the time. Now, do you want to know what the debt pile is?
It's quite a lot.
It's kind of unimaginable. I don't think you can hold this figure in your head. £16 billion of debt with £19 billion of capital, i.e. a lot of debt. More than half of Thames Water debt, though, is linked to inflation. Anyone who has paid any attention to shop prices will know that inflation has been very high in the UK. So that means it's really difficult to service your debt. And so, you know, ignoring the problems for the government is going to be also very difficult because this is a regulated business. Remember, Ofwat supposedly has been signing off on what Thames Water's been up to.
Yeah, and I do think a finger of blame has to be pointed at the regulator because these private companies were, all these plans for loading up with debt were cleared with the regulator, of course. And I know we had very, very low interest rates and they said to the regulator, oh, it's fine, interest rates are near zero, we can borrow this for nothing. Well, that's fine, but everybody must have known that at some point interest rates would not be zero. And that's come to pass. And of course, Thames is now really struggling under the weight of this £16 billion of debt and interest payments, which they can't meet or are close to not being able to meet. And therefore, the regulator has to take a share of that blame for letting them do this. A really interesting opinion piece by Chris Giles in the FT today. He calls it the great stink of Thames Water. He says that if owners want to load their companies with debt, which of course they did in bucket loads, then equity and debt holders, shareholders and holders of bonds, should know that they're going to get higher returns, but at the price of greater risk. And he says that veiled threats of putting the company into administration, setting a terrible precedent for the UK and ruining our reputation with global investors, he says that is entirely misplaced. And he says this is a big test of British capitalism. And he says if you get Thames Water right, then the case for private ownership of utilities will be enhanced. But he says that any attempt to bail out private investors would be a really big mistake.
Yeah, because the whole point of bailing out a too big to fail company is that you disincentivize, you know, good financial management of businesses further down the line, don't you? Anyway, we're going to delve into this story in some detail and get the latest on how the market is reacting. So one signal that of impending trouble really is this idea that traders at Barclays and HSBC are facilitating these bets that I mentioned against Thames Water debt. This, according to people familiar with the matter. So it kind of highlights the escalating issues. Representatives from HSBC and Barclays declined to comment. Joining us now on this is Bloomberg's credit market reporter, Tassos Vassos. Tassos, very good to have you with us. I'm so keen to understand this story that I think, you know, here at Bloomberg, we spend a lot of time thinking about, but actually in the political sphere, maybe less really well understood. I want you to unpack for us. Some traders are buying cheap Thames Water bonds. Why is that? Are they just waiting for a UK government bailout of some kind?
Well, actually, thank you very much for having me, by the way. Actually, what they're trying to do is bet on where the restructuring is going to take place. By restructuring, it means that at some point, whether the administrator and special administration or the bondholders themselves with the company are going to come to an agreement to trim, to have a haircut on the debt. What that means in particular is that instead of paying back 100 cents on the dollar, as you usually do for any debt you have, you're going to pay 80, for example. And 80 right now seems to be the sweet spot because, as you know, Ofwat has what they call gearing. And gearing is a metric that allows companies to remain sustainable. It means that your debt shouldn't be above a certain level of your regulatory capital base. And now Thames Water is obviously falling foul of that. And the expectation is that in order to go back into line with it, then the bondholders will have to accept, say, a 20% haircut. So instead of getting 100 cents on the dollar at the end when the bonds need to be repaid, they will get 80. And now because of bond math out there, and that we don't have to go into too much detail, there are essentially two groups of Thames Water bonds. The high-priced bonds are quite expensive in the secondary market. They're trading at, say, 95 to 100% of face value. And there's the low-priced bonds that are actually trading between 55 and 75. So on one hand, you have people who are short-selling the bonds, the high-priced bonds, expecting their price to drop. And on the other hand, actually, you have people who are buying very cheap ones, thinking, well, there is going to be a restructuring, but there's not a reason for me not to make money. I can still make money because I'm going to buy very cheap bonds. The haircut is going to be at 80. I'm going to make the difference between the two.
Tassos, really interesting to kind of get into the weeds of the market behind all of this. But just talk us through what those bond prices mean for what investors think is going to happen to the company.
Well, right now, everyone pretty much expects some kind of restructuring. It's going to be a very positive but rather unexpected event if there is no haircut imposed on investors. So at this stage, you have to be rather optimistic to expect to get your entire investment back, even on the very, you know, the Class A bonds that are like the top ranked bonds of Thames Water out there. You have to be rather optimistic to believe that everything's going to be fine. There is going to be an equity injection or anything, and that you're going to get everything back. So at this stage, there is an expectation that Thames Water may have to impose a haircut of 20% of face value, and investors will have to take some loss, especially those who bought at much higher levels than that, in order for the company just to remain solvent, really, and a going concern, as I say, in business terms.
But that's the question, isn't it? What are the chances then of Thames Water having to be brought into special administration, which would be a sort of temporary nationalisation, a temporary measure that the government could take to sort of prop up the business, or even having to go further and actually kind of re-nationalise it? What are the chances of that? Because all of this stuff between the bondholders, the investors that back the business, and Ofwat, that's all sort of before something more drastic, like the government having to really step in.
That's correct. I mean, I cannot give you a specific percentage of what the chances are, but as you can see, people in the market are already taking steps to address that. So what they do believe is that it's becoming more and more possible day by day. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some kind of action to be taken. When, we don't exactly know, but this is becoming more and more possible.
Of course, all of this happens against the rather obvious backdrop of the impending general election. It's something which I'm sure the current government are keen not to have to deal with in a big way, and leave it for the next lot, if the next lot are of a different colour. I'm sure investors are watching all this closely, but what do you think investors think the chances are of some kind of government bailout? What do you think they think the prospect of that is?
Well, as you mentioned before, the political backdrop is actually rather complicated to allow some kind of bailout, especially from possibly the current government. You may want a government that you would argue has a more stable mandate to deal with that kind of thing. And this is something that the market actually would really not like, having this kind of uncertainty drag on. Because even for people who are shorting the bonds of Thames Water, so in a way they're betting against the prices, they don't want this thing to drag out for too much longer. Because in order to short the bonds, you have to borrow them first, and that incurs cost on you. And every single day that passes, the cost accumulates. If you sell the bond short now, and you have to wait until the general election, then you have to wait until there is some kind of resolution from the next election, from the next government on that, then you are losing money on a daily basis. Something needs to be done, and the entire market wants a resolution. And the problem is that you cannot guarantee there's going to be something really quick because of the complicated political backdrop that we just mentioned.
And that's why I wanted to do this story today and to try to sort of talk about it in detail, Tassos, because I think that that's the bit where there's often a lot of miscommunication and misunderstanding, right, between bond markets and the political timetable. I mean, I'm not making a comparison of Thames Water to Liz Truss, but just in terms of, you know, the mini budget, it's about, for financial markets and investors, it's always about speed, isn't it? It's about the clock ticking down and something that is moving at a totally different pace to the political discussion and the discussion about Thames Water's consumers, let's say. And so that's why I think it's really quite fascinating that maybe, you know, the political class are thinking this thing's going at a certain pace or off what might be, and the bondholders are thinking it's going at quite a different pace.
Indeed. You may know of the term bond vigilantes, obviously, which in very simple terms, it means bond traders who are in a way taking action in the bond market in order to force an outcome by the government. They usually sell bonds, they push the price of borrowing higher, and then the government has to somehow yield to their demands, just like it happened with Liz Truss and you know, the short-lived government back then. The only problem now is that this time, even when they short the bonds of Thames Water and their yields go higher, it's Thames Water's problem for now. It's not the government specifically, until, of course, they have to make a decision on what to do with Thames Water. So the bond vigilantes will try to force the government to make a decision, but they don't have to at this stage. And this is where, on one side, the bond investors, and the other side, the short sellers, we get very, not angry, but frustrated, because they will try to get a resolution that may not happen immediately. And this is why these bets in the market are actually rather risky, because you will have to wait for a long time for them to play out. That it could be, I don't know, several months until the next general election. And this is why this situation could remain fraught for a while.
Just a quick one. What's the read across to the rest of the industry? Because Thames Water is the most indebted company, but there are lots of other utilities out there with plenty of bonds trading in the market.
That's correct. And we have seen some moves in the market. And let's not forget the very complicated financial structure of Thames Water, where the whole business securitization and all these buzzwords that revolve around it. That is also visible in other parts of the market. We have actually seen other water companies being structured the same way. That doesn't mean that they face the same problems, but it does mean that people may see read across across the sector. It is not great to see some kind of foot dragging from the government. That's not really great at all. And that could be what we're seeing now with Thames Water could be a template with what could happen if other, you know, news arise with other firms, you know, short selling, buying very cheap bonds, that kind of thing. So that could be with us for a while.
Tassos, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate you talking us through then the Thames Water story. That is Bloomberg's credit market reporter, Tassos Vassos. Look, I thought it was also very interesting that this week I spoke to Andrew Wilkinson from Weil, which is a big US law firm. They do a lot of work on indebtedness, on distressed debt all across Europe. They look at countries, they look at different businesses and different sectors. And Andrew Wilkinson this week, you know, when I asked him about Thames Water, he said that Thames Water was the exception in terms of utilities across Europe, in terms of its indebtedness, that it was sort of the outlier. I was sounding quite calm about it. You know, so there is another sort of point of view that actually it's a kind of, it's idiosyncratic, it's just confined to Thames Water. But as you have pointed out, in the UK, at least there are other water companies that are indebted and that are coming under pressure, maybe just not quite so much as Thames Water.
Yeah, well, that certainly sounds like a reassuring perspective anyway.
Yes.
Well, I want to get another view now from Linton Bloomberg, who we should mention is no relation to our founder, but he's a restructuring expert and a partner at international law firm Reed Smith. Linton, thanks for joining us on the programme today. Just walk us through Thames Water's options at the moment.
So what we know about Thames Water at the moment, obviously, is we've got a default at the top of the structure. But what we also have is, at the end of April, $190 million term loan due. So at the moment, you'll have various stakeholders all jostling for position and trying to work out, you know, what action they can take to protect their own position.
Yeah, I mean, in your experience then, how quickly does this sort of thing move? We were speaking to our reporter just earlier, as you say, about the kind of jostling of the different bondholders and investors in Thames Water, and that there is to some extent a kind of time factor. The bondholders want a response from the company first and foremost, but then that's to do with whether or not Thames Water goes into special administration, gets bailed out by the government or not.
The first thing to think about is what is a special administration. We've got in the UK a tried and trusted administration process, which we use very successfully for many different industries. The special administration regime was brought in post Lehman, where it was realized that actually it wasn't really designed for something so complicated and so complex. And we've seen it used since. And what we call modified insolvency procedure. We've seen it used since with other investment banks and also with Bulb Energy. And the reason that we need it is because in a normal insolvency, the administrator's duties are to creditors. And that doesn't always align when you've got other overriding duties, which you would see in Bulb Energy with the provision of electricity, or here with Thames Water, where, you know, it's particularly key that there's a continuation of supply, you know, treatment of sewage, and also, you know, discharge of environmental obligations. So I think that's what the issues are when, whether it be the government or Ofwat are looking at it. They're thinking, what do we need to do in order to protect customers, in order to protect, you know, supply of water?
Yes, and that's the issue, you know, that this is the largest UK water and sewage company. I mean, it's interesting you raised Bulb Energy, of course. The fact that the government had to step in there reluctantly again is that Bulb Energy costs the government and therefore taxpayers a fortune. Is that what you anticipate in terms of Thames Water? Because the issue is, you know, do you anticipate government stepping in? And if so, the cost would be very significant.
Bulb Energy had, I believe, 1.6 million customers. Thames Water has 16 million customers. So on that basis, it's 10 times larger than Bulb. Bulb cost a lot of money in relation to not only, you know, fees, but also, as you say, government support. The special administration regime, which has been changed recently, enables government support to be put in to Thames Water and to any other water company also that uses it, in the form of grants, loans, indemnities, guarantees. And the government will get priority expense in relation to any monies it puts in. I think whatever happens, an administrator, if one is appointed as a special administrator, will need to ensure that there is sufficient funding there for them to comply with and fulfil their obligations and their duties.
If we did go into this process, just talk us through what it would mean for the taxpayer and for, indeed for bill payers.
Well, it's difficult to know how it will eventually flow through. I mean, there's various reports out there that bills will go up 40% or so. It's probably likely that bills will be going up anyway. But what the special administrator will be needing to do and will need funding for is to not only fulfill their own obligations that they would fulfill in any administration, so ascertaining who the creditors are, and when you've got 16 million customers, that's quite a lot. Ascertaining debtors, reviewing key contracts, securing assets. But one of the most important things they'll want to do is ensure that they comply with any regulations and also manage any environmental risks. And that's where I think that there's likely to be, you know, a requirement for an indemnity in relation to any obligations that may arise during the period of a special administration.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's such an extensive issue. I mean, one of the fundamental issues is about the long-term investment that Thames Water has put in and what more needs to be done in terms of leaks and sewage and so on. So it's a massive issue and much longer running than, let's say, Bulb Energy, which you could wrap up fairly quickly. The government's really pushing back on the idea of special administration. They want the business, the private business, to sort out its own financial mess. How do you think that could be done?
I mean, it could be done if there were sufficient monies put in, whether it be from, you know, equity or from the existing lenders. But I mean, I think we've seen it before. I was involved in MG Rover back in 2005, which I think was a good example of what can sometimes happen in an election year. Because there, you know, you had Tony Blair, the then PM, and Gordon Brown turning up for meetings with employees and with stakeholders, which you wouldn't ordinarily see if it wasn't an election year and the government didn't want to be seen to be doing the right thing.
How does the political calendar play into all of this? Because, of course, I think neither party will be keen to be seen to be bailing out a private company. That's surely a risk that investors will be alive to.
I think investors are looking at the moment in relation to whether or not it's worthwhile buying debt in the structure, and if so, where that debt is best to be bought at. I think there's a lot of uncertainty as to how it will all play out. If a special administrator is appointed, then they've got a number of exit routes that they could go down. You know, whether it being, you know, the primary obligation is to try and rescue it as a going concern. But if they can't do that, they've got other opportunities and other options available to them to try and transfer it out, similar to Bulb. But it's very difficult to know at this point, first of all, if it will go into special administration, and secondly, how that will play out and how long it will take.
Yes, and so it's a story we're going to keep our eye on. Linton Bloomberg, thank you so much for being with us. Linton is a restructuring expert and partner at the international law firm Reed Smith. Thank you so much for being with us. Interesting that Linton talked about that 40% increase in bills to consumers, because that actually was fundamentally one of the issues of why the regulator Ofwat rejected the five-year plan that Thames Water presented, the most recent five-year plan, because it envisaged that 40% increase to consumers by 2030. You know, as you have said, I don't think you can avoid either asking some very fundamental questions about the regulator Ofwat, whether it was toothless, whether it was, you know, not fully focused on the possible consequences of the indebtedness of Thames Water. But look, there's a lot of blame in this situation.
Yeah, we know we've got some big bill increases coming down the line for consumers right across the country, but I think they'll be keen to think they're not going into the pockets of bondholders and they are going to fix some of the mess in the water industry. Look, I think this is tricky for the Conservatives, firstly because it picks apart at one of their big things they did in the 80s and 90s, the privatisations, the flagship policy, and it starts to chip away at whether that was a good idea or not. But secondly, it flags up this big issue of sewage, which I know is not going to be a top three issue for many voters, but in lots of marginals, particularly Lib Dem-facing marginals, the opposition are going to be pushing this hard. And it's got a lot of traction on social media, and people feel very angry about discharge into rivers. And it's something which I think the Conservatives feel exposed on, and it is it's a very thorny issue for them. It's not something the opposition have got a clear idea how to fix, but the Tories will get the blame for it.
Yeah, and I think it also points to one other major issue, which is, as we talk about the next 5 to 10 years, perhaps a major government change, the idea of whether government is better at assigning money at building different sorts of businesses, you know, repairing the NHS or building new roads and hospitals and schools or any of those issues, all of that involves business acumen of coming up with the right decision at the right time. And when you have a major regulator, you know, having this kind of enormous difficulty on a major utility in Britain, it sort of exposes, well, is government up to the job? Are regulators up to the job? And I think that's quite a fundamental sort of issue.
Yeah, that's the big question. And perhaps some people wouldn't like it answered by looking at the water industry. Well, that is it for us today. If you like the programme, don't forget to subscribe and give it 5 stars so other people can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
This episode was produced by Tiwa Adebayo. Our audio engineer was Sean Guastamacchia. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Ewan Potts. We'll be back with more on Monday. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.